This is Daughter of Naboo, written by Mina Bird, read by Mistborn Hero, a Star Wars podfic rated for general audiences, featuring the relationships Padme Amidala and Leia Organa and Luke Skywalker. It is tagged for Jedi Leia Organa, Planet Naboo, Home, Cultural Differences, Identity Issues, Backstory. Part 3 of Ignite Burst. Author notes that give context. This is set in the universe of the ongoing AU. It's not fire you want to ignite. You can read it without looking at that one. But you might need to know that both Leia's parents are alive and on Fallen. She and Luke were raised mostly at the temple because the Clone Wars lasted longer and it was the safest. And they both trained as Jedi Padawans, although only Luke went on to become a knight. Homeworld is a tricky concept when you are raised far from family. Leia's first homeworld is the home of her heart. It is a gentle one. Leia remembers with a startling clarity the first time she visited Naboo. She was 4, she knows, because they had just begun learning to put elvish letters together and sound out words. It is an ecstasy of new knowledge, and Leia has been showing off for her parents by pointing out words wherever she could. The ship they boarded left her frustrated. The displays and plaques all used symbols that looked like they might be letters but looked nothing like the ones she knew. If she recalled correctly, it had taken Padme the better part of a day to understand her daughter's stormy reaction to the ship. Luke, by contrast, had taken up a post in the cockpit and utterly charmed the pilot by remaining riveted to her every action. "It's just Futhark," she said, pulling Leia into her lap, tracing her finger over a letter on the display. "See this? It's like the Orek you learned in class." "It looks more like Isk," Leia said, frowning. "Why does it have to be different?" "We Naboo have a history of our own," Padme said softly, in a voice like she was telling a story. "We keep it alive through art, through music, through clothing, and customs and dance, and yes, through language." The letters on the display lit Padme's splayed fingers an eerie blue, making them look almost transparent at the tips. "At home, children learn Futhark alongside a Revesh." "Why don't we?" Padme was silent for a long moment, and Leia stared at the strange, elegant letters, willing them to make sense. The curves and delicate flicks were nothing like the angular symbols she had been learning in the crash, now that she was really looking at them. "Temple students don't need them," Padme said, "but if you want to learn, I'll teach you whenever I can." Even at 4, Leia knew that didn't mean it would happen soon. But it soothed her, all the same. Naboo were supposed to enjoy the arts. Her cousin, Puya, played a stringed instrument called the gill harp and sang like a bird. Ryo painted. From time to time, if she was feeling happy enough and Anakin got it just right, Padme would read her poetry out loud. Leia picked up and put down several music instruments, used and then burned sketchbooks, and hunched in frustration over books about imagery and meter. It didn't matter to Luke the way it did Leia, but he could tell it bothered her. "Mom doesn't pay much attention to it either," he said. "Neither do Aunt Sache or Aunt Save. You don't have to compete with the cousins." Competing was so not the point. The point was this. Leia might be a Jedi initiate, but she was also Naboo. And this was what Naboo did. What she couldn't put into words was the yearning to belong to this planet that had nurtured her mother and her mother's mother and so on down the ages. It was the kind of partiality that Jedi, taken into the temple so young, were not supposed to have. She was homesick and nostalgic for a planet she had never lived on. She and Luke spent a week on Naboo when they were 13, in the hottest, thickest part of summer. Usually they saw Naboo in the spring, during a time when the legislative assembly went into recess and the lake country was at its prettiest. Midsummer, they discovered, played host to a festival involving bonfires and music and dancing. The moment the drumbeats came in, louder than her heartbeat, drowning out all sensation in favor of driving the rhythm, Leia was entranced. She watched as family and friends joined hands and came together, broke apart, spun and stepped in what were obviously well-known patterns. It looked like a lightsaber kata. It looked like losing touch with one's singleness and becoming part of a whole. Save was the first to notice Leia sitting at the edge of the firelight, her eyes wide. She held out a hand. Here, let me show you the steps. The steps were easy to pick up. Familiar faces met her as she let herself be passed from person to person, laughing with her father and mother, sharing grins with Luke, letting music and movement carry her until her feet ached. She walked back to the house, arm in arm with Padme, electrified and tired and content all at once. Padme leaned her head against Leia's. "I'm glad you could come for this," Padme murmured to her. "I want to come next year," Leia said. When she went back to the temple, she started researching classical Naboo dance. As she learned to move her body through the steps and contortions of the dances, so she added grace and flexibility to her lightsaber forms. For once, her Jedi identity and her Naboo one felt comfortable together. In years to come, she will say she left the Jedi to pursue politics, a neat transition thoughtfully undertaken. At age 16, nothing about Leia's heart or her life feels neat. She feels ready to crack in two. There is no reason for it, no reason for this purposeless anger or for rage and grief to have overwhelmed her so thoroughly on her last mission. A Jedi must learn to process and let go of her most destructive emotions. Master Bilava tries to counsel her through it, but Leia is too rattled to listen, too restless to settle into meditation, and too afraid of herself just now to feel she belongs among the Jedi. At first, she goes to Luke, who lets herself out some of her grief. There had been so much needless death on Rykel IV. If she can't make her peace with it, she will take the comfort of someone whose shoulder she has always relied on. Then Luke is off on another mission with Master Plo, and numbly, Leia begins to think, and finally, to talk. The life of a Jedi Knight is one of violence, always, always tempered by compassion and thoughtfulness. Leia cannot trust herself to be immersed in one and remember the others. This is not the first time she has struggled. It will be the worst time. She makes herself that promise, and then she goes home. Leia has never been on Naboo as a permanent resident. It is an unexpectedly joyful balm. She settles into the routine of the household with ease. It is familiar from her visits. She reaches out to family and visits with her mother's friend. She sneaks into Theed on rest day nights and strikes up a flirtation with a boy who dances the piojo like he was born to it. He probably was. And she follows her mother to the assembly and takes in the goings under. She talks with Sache, now the governor of Naboo, and draws out more and more details. She begins to read again, Naboo history, galactic politics, trade policy, and anything and everything to do with the Clone Wars and their aftermath. When she returns to Coruscant, she returns as a representative of Naboo, of her sector, comfortable on both worlds, but belonging to one. The end. This has been recorded for ITPE 2024 as a gift for Blue Geek EM. I didn't exactly mean to do something that was part of a bigger series that I haven't actually read, even though I have read a lot of Mina's fics, but I saw this and I liked it a lot, and I think you might too, so I decided to go with it anyway. I hope it was the right choice and that you did enjoy. Thank you for listening anyway, and please remember to drink some water today.